الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى قل ما أسألكم عليه من أجر إلا من شاء أن يتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been commanded to announce مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرِ, for this mission of mine where I am divinely appointed by Allah Ta'ala to represent Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the universe, call people towards Allah Ta'ala. So that's my work, that's the mission, that's what I have been appointed for. But I'm also required to make this announcement that مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرِ. For this, I ask for no remuneration. So his night and his day is covered serving the mission of Allah Ta'ala. إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. In the day, there is a prolonged occupation. Sometimes is da'wat, inviting. Sometimes it's ta'lim, teaching. Sometimes it is correcting someone. Sometimes it's joining people together. So the whole day of the Nabi is covered in this manner. Then, at night, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Most of the night is spent in adoration of Allah Ta'ala, prostrating, asking, begging. So the day is covered in this way and the night is covered in this manner. Now, the question that will come up in any mind is then what is the Nabi going to do? How is he going to sustain himself? This is the question that will come to any mind, that then khane peene ka kya hoga? What's going to happen? Because Allah Ta'ala has created mankind as a conglomeration of needs. From the beginning, from birth, right until death, nobody can say that I'm not in need, but some need or the other. At birth, you need the protection, the care of your parents or guardians, right? Every moment you need someone. Hungry, you need someone. Not feeling well, you need someone. You are filthy, then you need to clean yourself. Someone, you need someone. You need to change, then you need someone. The child cannot say for a moment that I am not in need. So this is how Allah Ta'ala designed mankind. And it's a unique, it's a very, very unique how Allah Ta'ala has designed mankind. If we see bird life is totally different. The day the thing is hatched, then it knows how to look for its fodder in the ground. What we can't see, they can see it. It's a small little chick just hatched out today, knows how to walk, knows how to find its fodder in the ground, knows its mother's voice, and knows that when its mother is calling, it must run for protection under the wing and under the care of the mother. Knows it already. What it would take the child 3 years That thing knows from birth, from the day it's hatched. So there must be a reason why Allah Ta'ala created and designed us like this. There's no accidents. Because science has cancelled Allah Ta'ala from the equation. Cancelled it, right? Cancelled Allah Ta'ala and cancelled the day of Qiyamah. It's totally cancelled. So they had to look for a substitute when they made this cancellation, right? Because people laugh at them, alright, you have cancelled and removed Allah Ta'ala from the equation, removed the day of Qiyamah from the equation, so there must be something that you will substitute. So they spoke about evolution, Darwinism, etc. Right? And then they didn't just speak about it, but they pushed it onto mankind. They pushed it, made it compulsory. You know, when they talk about Islam being spread by force, then really this filth is being spread by force. Because you ask any child that is going to the matric level, if he doesn't learn about evolution and cannot write, he will lose about 50 marks at the final examinations. So that child is going to learn day and night, and he'll learn and he'll learn, and he will consume, he will take those theories within, believe in them, and then after some times, that will become the norm in his life. So it's going to be forced into him. So they had to have a replacement. So they replaced with this filth. Now why they had to replace it with this filth is because they want to breed a godless community. This is what they want. The whole idea is a godless community. So you may ask, all right, what do they get by breeding a godless community? So what they get out of this is, then we can dictate the terms. We can tell them do and don't do, and they will listen to us. Because we have got the control of the media. We have got control of the education. We have got control of the university. So we can push our luck under the name of science, under the theme of education, under the name of arts and culture. We'll push all our luck. And we'll call it education. Reality, it is dancing, it is music, right? But they will give it the pretext of education. Under the pretext of education, they will push the thing, and that innocent child, gullible child, will have to listen to it, he will have to accept it, learn it, perfect it, and not only perfect it, but learn it so well, so that he can get the best marks at the end of the year. So this is the whole plan, you see. So that they can rule, the television can rule, the media can rule, the university can cool. So it's one world order, but now coming from this level, then to the university, then to the media, in every way that they can influence. So they will push that thing. And then we, gullible in our innocence and naivety, will accept it. Whereas for everything else, we know and we believe that there is a beginning. If there is a piece of art here, the beautiful house, mansion, some trees and lakes, etc. And someone comes and tells that this just came of its own. You know, that art just came, some colors came this way, and that colors just chose to come onto that wall with this combination of colors. You will say, I thought Gandhi watch. It's madness, it can't happen. But when this is such a huge, magnificent piece of artwork of Allah Ta'ala, with so much of harmony and so many systems within your own self, there's over 5,000 systems within, running within yourself. Perfect, right? Precise. And then we have got the heart to say, you know, it just happened like that. So it's real, real madness. If you reason, analyze, it's total off. Right? So they had to shift you off. Why? To create a godless community. When they create a godless community, then you don't have a consciousness. Then if you want that woman to come and gallivant the streets, run freely in the streets, she can do it. Work in the office environment, she can do it. Walk around semi-nude, she will do it. Anything for that money, for that pleasure, anything. And then what we will do on our side, we will squeeze Islam into the equation to make it look permissible. whatever we're doing, right? The other way around was they preserved Islam in its purity and they squeezed themselves to come into the bus of Islam. The whole, they came into the University of Islam, but they squeezed themselves. All right, this is haram, so let's squeeze ourselves. We'll take half a loaf. We'll do it less. But we will get ourselves into Islam, squeezed. It's all right. We know we're ending up right. But on the other end, when you're squeezing Islam, then it may be that you may just lose Islam. You squeeze it and throttle it until there's no Islam. Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Ali, he's a master of illustrations. So if there's a concept, then he will give out an illustration to explain the concept. Taqriban nilfam. So he says, an old woman, she saw a parrot just landed in her courtyard, exotic colors, you know, you don't see something pink and blue and yellow and red. So that he saw it, became too fond of the parrot, just fell into her courtyard. Now with close scrutiny and examination, she saw, but hey, the beak is so long. And it's skewed like that, skewed and it's long. So how this thing must be eating? So poor thing, that thing must be starving, that's why it landed here in my courtyard, it's my blessings. So we didn't clip the whole beak. Alright. Then, again examining the whole parrot again, then it saw its claws. Hey, the claws now so long, so dirty, the germs, bacteria getting into it, that thing will get an infection. So go and clip its whole beak, the whole claws. Then as it spread out its wings, now it's seeing, that thing's wings is about a meter long, from this side, that side, with an clipped off its wings. Now, after some time, someone came and seen what this auntie had done. She said, you made this parrot totally useless. Na urne ke kaam ke liye, na chalne ke kaam, or na khane ka kaam. That thing can't eat, it can't fly, it can't walk. You made it absolutely useless. So this is what the kuffar, this is what the enemy of Allah Ta'ala plans to do. That you got an Islam, but that Islam can't do anything for you. It can't see your needs. It can't give you that satisfaction. It can't give you fulfillment. Nothing, absolutely. So make that Islam and trim it and shape it such that it becomes just Islam in name, but that Islam is of no good. It doesn't do anything for you. Make that type of Islam. So they planned it out. So anyway, we are talking of this verse. مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. So, for this entire operation, what's my desire? What is the desire? What is the request? Why is the Nabi doing this? From morning till the evening, the whole night is gone in this entire endeavor. So why is he doing it? مَنْ شَاءَ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. My desire and my niyat, my intention is for a person to come and take a path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a straight path. Like an old man that is aging now, he's ending up his life. So he calls around his children and he says, here, I'm ending up now, I'm to the end of my life. So I'll give you all my assets, distribute all to you. Abba, but why are you doing this? Say, no, I just want you to eat, to enjoy, and live with muhabbat. Live happily with muhabbat, eat and enjoy. That is my reward. What's my reward? What's my return? You eat, drink, live with happiness and muhabbat. That's the reward. So really this reward, is it going to the man that is dying or is it going to the children? It's going to the children. So the Nabi is not getting any type of remuneration, no material gain. No material gain. The gain is yours. مَنْ شَاءَ يَتَّخِذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. Really, when I think about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and if it weren't for him, then mankind would be worse than animals. It is he that's pulled you out and brought you somewhere to the level of humanity, brought you to humanity, understand that you're a man. So otherwise, man was gone right down. If you study history, ancient history, around that period of time, then it was just going down, dipping. And then it was the reason that picked mankind up after that, right? Now, we're coming back to the question. Nabi Sallam says, I don't want any type of remuneration. And this is not something exclusive with Nabi Sallam, every Nabi is saying the same. I said, look in Surah Shu'ara, there's about 5 or 6 Anbiya stories that are mentioned in succession, right? And كَذَّبَتْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَادٌ الْمُرْسَلِينَ ثَمُودٌ الْمُرْسَلِينَ Everyone, right? But everyone has got one common line. مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ I ask for no remuneration. Nabi Sam is saying the same thing what all the other Anbiya said. No worldly remuneration. And the two other things that the Anbiya said also, that إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ I am divinely appointed and I am an honest person. So openly, and Nabi Sam's title was Amin. From his youth right until he had moved to Medina Munawara, all their valuables they had deposited with Nabi Sam. Unique, strange. They have laid a siege around the house, got all their valuables with him, wanting to take his life, but know in their hearts that there isn't a safer place to deposit their treasures than the house of Nabi Sam. Unique, strange. They know it. He is the Amin. He is the honest person. Right. They gave him the title that there can't be a person as honest as him. But why is he talking about this? They're getting frustrated. Why must he talk about one God? أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهَ وَاحِدًا One God. Just leave this out to be your friend. So the Nabi can't say this. Just to curry favor and appease and satisfy. You guys are not right. Hum sabko lekar ke chalte hai. Tu bhi sahi, hum bhi sahi hai. You're all right. All of us are right. No, that Nabi doesn't work like that. Say, no. I'll show you the right path. I don't want to mislead you. You know, I was giving one talk some times back. So, one person, friend of mine, very educated, now he's a professor now. So, I was just returning home on foot. So, he came with the speed, just stopped his car there. Well, I just jump in. Now, I knew him. I saw him in this emotional state, all right now, man. Just to satisfy him, just to make him feel comfortable. Let me sit down with him. I don't know what his problem, you know. So, I sat down with him. He's dropping me at home. He says, what is wrong with these Molanas, man? He's telling me, what is wrong with these Molanas? So I'm still listening now. I can see he's in an emotional state. He may give me one slap just now. So I just said, I just keep quiet. I don't know what's coming up. So he says, yeah, whenever he listened to them, they're talking about Jahannam, and you'll die, and what can happen to you. And this type of stories they are giving. And you know, look at this televangelists, you know. When they promote Christianity, they say, would death unto the lapse of Christ, you know, how beautifully they are presenting. And then he's telling me, you know, well, he didn't know much about Islam, so I had to excuse him for that moment. So he says, you know, had I been a young person, I would have been a Christian. Now I said, this is dangerous. But I can't explain this concept to this man when he's in an emotional state. I need him to be relaxed, to be calmed down, to be cool. When he's relaxed, then he will be receptive. But in this emotional state, he cannot be receptive. If I'm going to tell him anything, he'll come straight onto his defense. And I won't gain anything, he won't gain anything. So let him be relaxed, composed. He got his full composure, then I can explain this to him. Anyway, his daughter was getting married. He asked Mona a few words. And I say, all right, I don't want to be spiteful to the man. I can see his heart is good, but just that he's confused. He studied, but he studied secular education. He doesn't have Islamic education. Number two, he doesn't have the ability to apply logic and reason. He can't apply it. Though he studied. But logic and reason is a different thing. You learn the concept and you must be able to apply it thereafter for you to come to right conclusions. So, I just was addressing the crowd. It was a nikah gathering. So I said, alright, you know, you're traveling to Shepston, right? And one friend says to you that you see you're going to Shepston and such a beautiful ride, enjoy the journey. All the you'll get some police, but they're so friendly, they don't mind whatever speed that you go. They will give you a box of chocolates for traveling well. And they'll compliment you and don't worry, any problem, they will look after you. No problem. They won't stop you. They won't trouble you. They won't harass you. No speed limits. Nothing. Absolutely. Go. Enjoy the journey. So one is that man. And the other one says, you know what? Here, yeah, this South Coast Road, they're very dangerous. They won't hesitate to pull you off the road. And especially if you're on a Friday night, you're traveling wild, they won't only pull you off the road, they'll put you into prison and to be appearing in court on Tuesday morning. So 4 days flat, you'll be in the prison. They won't hesitate to give you a 50,000 rand fine. Don't take a chance with them. Now, you're driving on the road. And you're seeing the cops and how they are pulling people off the road, how they're finding them, how they're imprisoning them. I ask you, now, what will be your take? What will be your response? You'll swear the first person or you'll give him a box of chocolates? You swear him, what's up? You've misled me. I would have nearly been destroyed, you know. Lucky that second person, he came and cautioned me and showed me the status quo. He told me exactly what happens. So, the Mulana that is giving you a talk, sometimes he's overplaying it a little bit, but he's scared. I don't want you to be landing in Jahannam. I don't want you to be burning in your grave. I don't want pythons and scorpions to come and trouble you. So he's doing it, but he's doing it because of the right reason. He's concerned about your future. He's concerned what's going to happen. So therefore he's talking in this manner. Not that he wants to spite you down and push you down. No. He doesn't have any relationship with you. Yes, he's scared. Tomorrow, kya ho, what's going to happen to you downstairs? So therefore, he will come out, and come out clear, sometimes he'll come out blunt, that's what's going to happen. So forget the blunt approach, but see what's the message. Maybe he was a little bit blunt, or someone, or some people was a little bit blunt. Forget the bluntness, but look at the message, what he's talking about. Is it making sense or not? Must I do it or not? Is it for my own good or not? Again, we come to the question that it raised up. The Nabi says, "Ma as'alukum alayhi min ajr." I'm not asking for any remuneration. Then how is he going to sustain himself? That's the question, right? And I said that man is a conglomeration of needs. From the beginning right till the end, nobody can say. As you're coming up, then you have to be pushed into nursery, right? I'll teach you small concepts, right? Then going to primary school, then secondary school, then tertiary education. And you need it, all the time you need it. You need the backing and the support of your guardian, some bursary or something you need to go through this whole thing. Then to be able to sustain yourself. Then you got, now you're coming off adolescence, now you're understanding, you're recognizing your youth, then you want to be paired up because you're feeling very, very bored all alone. Then you need to get married. And once you got married, then you got children. And once you got children, then again that same, that whole game plays up again. A replay of the same game. It didn't end. Now worry about them, let them come up. And then when you become a grandfather, worry about your Nawasa and Potra. About your grandchildren, maternal, paternal, worry about them. So this figure doesn't end. And then your need also doesn't end. And your need doesn't end right till the grave. The day you are sick now, you are bedridden, then too you need someone. You can't be on your own. You can't say that I need someone to be on my bedside, to come and give me some company, give me some encouragement. You need all these things. Everybody needs it. Right till the time you died. And after death as well, you still need someone to lower you into the grave. And then to cover you. Imagine if your body is lying there and nobody's concerned. Aapka kya hoga? What's going to happen to you? What a disgrace. And or to or, I say, forget your physical self. Even you require some type of reputation as well. Some type of reputation. See, the hadith says, لَمَجْعَلْنِي فِي عَيْنِي صَغِيرًا وَفِي أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ كَبِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala, in my sight, make me, belittle me, my sight. Amongst people, give me respect. In my sight, belittle me, but amongst people, give me respect. So I was thinking about this hadith, then I'm thinking, there must be some illustration, no? Because what Nabi Sam said is 100%, not 100%, in fact, 1000%. Everything is right. It's just that we have to use our minds, we have to see the truth in Nabi Sam's words. Right? Now, I don't mean to be a politician, right? But a little bit of politics to get you to understand this, right? See, the political scene in this country was about malema, the fear and the inciting, all that, right? And Perhaps someone's tear reached Allah Ta'ala. When it reached Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala brought about a person like Raymond Zondo, right? Who's heading the Zondo Commission. And the whole tables just change around. Did you see that? He just had to say, you know, as a child, and you know, I had a good pass, and examinations, I had so many symbols, etc. And I got a bursary, I was admitted to university. Then I thought about my parents, my children, my siblings and all that. I was really concerned about them. Uska kya hoga? Then I went to Ikobo, I saw one shop there. A man with a beard and with a topi, right? I saw the person with the topi and the beard. Then I waited for the stop to come to become normal, like, you know, the customers all seen to, because I can't go and disturb the boss while the whole shop is busy. Man, I got to know him, Mr. Suleiman Musa, right? That was his name. So I showed him, oh, this is my bursary, what I've got, but my concern is about my siblings and my parents, or my widow's mother. So he says, all right, don't worry. Wrote out a note for him. Someone from the house can come to the shop and take the groceries of the needs. Whatever the school arrangements, I will arrange for you. Right? That Mr. Suleiman forgot about everything. Mr. Zondo, one day he became, whatever he became, senior counsel, whatever he became, now he's posted to be the deputy justice of the country, right? Now when he's raised up and he made a lot of money for himself, now he comes to Mr. Suleiman, and he says to Mr. Suleiman, you know what? You have done this for my family, I want to repay you. So Mr. Suleiman has forgotten. Like our Islam teaches that you do what the right hand does, the left hand also doesn't know. So he must have been a simple person. He said, all right, I've done it now for the sake of Allah, I'll finish now. It's in my deeds. It's in my book of deeds. He forgot about it. He said, no, you know, he explained all that. So he registered, all right, this man spoke about it. But now when he's mentioning this, in that press conference, you know, it's being recorded in the press conference, then Mr. Raymond says, you know, but you know when I offered him this money, what was his response? He says his response was, the good that was done, you pass it on to someone else. And he just cried. He couldn't control himself. He got the whole press conference crying. So that goodness that is done, it will yield some fruit in time. Don't force it to come straight away. It will come, it will take its time. But it will take its time, it will come in time. People will see it, and they'll have a different impression about Muslims and Islam. But if you want to push things and make too much of advertisements, do less work and do too much of advertisements, obviously, you want to turn that thing around. It's not going to have that effect. So for Allah Ta'ala to do it, it's a second. It was just, maybe it was a 10 minutes or 20 minutes press conference, and to just say this, and the whole attitude has changed. The attitude of people has just changed. Who did this? I ask you, karne wala kon hai? Allah ki zaat. You need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do it. He will do it. But are there any takers? So therefore Allah says, all right, I know you got these needs. You got needs, your material needs, your emotional needs. You've got even needs about your own reputation and respect. And I know I'm your creator. Right? When I'm your creator, I will attend to all. But what are you supposed to be doing? You're crying about, I need this and I need this. But did you ask that my role in this life, what is my role? What am I supposed to be doing? So in the next verse, Allah Pak says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. You put your trust in the eternal living, one that is eternal and is living. So now, the mind asks, all right, why did Allah say the eternal life, the one that is eternal and living? Because the one that is dying, right, I planted my hopes in him and he died now, then my hopes will be shattered, broken down totally. Boy, I planted all my hopes in this man here and he's gone. Or perhaps I had my hopes in him and he is not responding, he's not giving. At the time that he wanted me, I worked for him. But now that I've got a need, he's not looking at me. He's turned around. Or it's possible that he's got it and he doesn't want to give. Or the fourth possibility is he's got a change of mind. Before the affinity and bond was there, something happened and he's got a change of mind. I ask you, are these realities or not? Man was so good. And then just suddenly then it's a change of mind. Now Allah Ta'ala's Zat, Allah Ta'ala's being is such وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. It's consistent. It isn't fluctuation. Today is like this and tomorrow, no. If he's Hayy Qayyum, he's all living, his living is eternal. And he is the one that sustains the entire universe. Then it's a right through, consistent across the board. It's not that today he'll do it and tomorrow he won't do it, he will do it. But what's your duty? So he and his attributes are all consistent, the same. They will remain. But yes, what you need to ask is, what must I do? What's my work? In this whole equation, what must I do? So Allah says, وَتَوَكَّلْ, you've done my work. Now you put your trust into me. کہ میں تمہارے کام کو بنانے والا ہوں. I'll make things happen for you. You put your trust in me and I will make things work for you. So this is where we are stuck. See, I was explaining the student this morning, see, where we have gone off. So for everything, we've got something material, some cover. This, then a doctor, then a hospital cover, and a double cover, an extra cover. So for everything you got a cover, right? But did you cover yourself with trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I don't say don't go to a doctor, don't go to a hospital, I don't say that. But I'm asking you, did you trust Allah ta'ala? Huh? Did you trust Allah ta'ala? You've got a wife, right? And you are very good to her, you're generous, you give her all her requirements, everything is seen through. And after everything is seen through, she turns to someone else. I ask you, will you appreciate that? You have given her everything, all what comforts she wanted. You've given it all to her. But she just turned to someone else. I ask you, do you appreciate this? But I am around, your husband, and then you've got the decency to turn around from me, go to someone else. Am I a non-entity? What? How do you feel? Don't you feel disgusted? So how does Allah Ta'ala take this when you have turned away from him? And placing your knees this side, that side, third place, fourth place, he will do it, and that person will do it, and that person will do it. But where's Allah Ta'ala? We have lost the plot. The problem is that we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only in words, but in mind and heart. In the old days, sometimes, you know, the world goes through some constraints. Some people go through constraints, right? Man is going through some constraints. There's no proper availability of jobs. There's no jobs now, looking for here, there. Now they look in the gum tree and whichever tree they look. But looking for jobs. Now he's looking for jobs high and low, he can't find a job. Eventually, with a lot of difficulty, he found a job as a cook, batyare, as a cook now. So he did all the mathematics in his mind. Okay, alright, I'm going to be the cook for all the meals. Right? When I'm going to be the cook for all the meals, then obviously, my boarding arrangements will be made. And there must be some leftovers in the pots, so I can do with that. And someone to, morsel will come out here, there, something will be left around, and I can make things work for myself. So he did all the mathematics in his mind that boarding is taken care of, and my food requirements are taken care of. So now, whatever I get, I've got a very small, limited salary, that 2,000 rand, I'll send it to my wife and my children. They can take care of themselves. He made all the hisab in his mind, and now he started. Now he had to show his good performance. So as he started now, the food is excellently prepared. Now, you know, you're cooking in the old days, firewood, so the under of the pot will be black. You know? So he's prepared the food, and the protocol is the one that cooks. See, India, many of us haven't lived in India. So if you employ the cook that is going to be working for you, he will dish out the food. So the boss is seated there, and he is dishing out the food. Now it's so tasty, the boss in or nikal or take out some more. Now the person is calculating, why? I left two botis this side here, two pieces are left here, and this man is wiping out that as well. But it's the boss' instruction, I can't help but give it to him. Give that away. Now he's saying, you know what, the thing is so tasty, man. You know, in Urdu, when they talk about a pot, you know, they talk about Kaaba Sharif. So he said, Zara Kaaba Sharif ka main jharu de do. Let me sweep the inside of the Kaaba Sharif, you know. Let me sweep the inside of the Kaaba Sharif. So that's how they talk in India, right? So all his plans, the plans that he had, everything collapsed. Because he thought he'll make something, you know, something work here. But yeah, the man wiped out the pot and everything. What's left for me? So in the frustration, he picks up the pot towards the boss. You know, the under the pot will be black, obviously, it's firewood, right? So he says, Zara, Hajar Aswad ka bhi bosa le lo. You see now, this collapsing of your anticipation, what you aspired, it creates this type of despondency. Really, it may sound as a joke, but it creates a despondency. You plant your hope in this one, and that one, and that one, and that one. But I ask you, in this entire creation, where was Allah Ta'ala? Where did you leave Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? So Allah says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. So put your trust in him, because he doesn't die. He is consistent right through. His attributes are today like it was. And it will be like it is. So there is absolutely no change in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is absolutely perfect. So when he's around, he is the one. And just to increase your iman, he says, خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا. The same ruku he says, خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَصَبًا وَسِهْرًا. Look at yourself. He created you from a drop. Drop, right? What are you? Just a single drop, right? Then he developed you. فَجَعَلَهُ نَصَبًا وَسِهْرًا. Then one thing that you see glaring created relationship of marriage and of lineage, right? But then look at this man when he was a small little drop, right? And now that he's fully developed, and when he's fully developed, now you say, I can control the universe, I can do this, I can wipe out Afghanistan in 1 week, right? So he forgets what I was, a small little drop. And today, now that he's developed, Allah gave him a reflection of his qualities, a little bit of the quality of Allah Ta'ala reflected on this poor little man. He became strong. He forgets now that just now he'll deteriorate. There'll be a collapse. He'll decline, and that's the grave. And the whole thing, his whole person will just disintegrate into the earth. Kalas, end of the story. He forgets about it. What he is now, he feels that is permanent. My strength, my power, my energy, my acumen, my brains, my ideas, that is the thing that will last. He doesn't realize, just now he'll come to an end, and he'll be disintegrating into the earth, and he'll be history. Gone, khalas. He forgets about it. So Allah says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلْ حَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. To trust in that being that doesn't die. But now, you'll ask a question, alright, but is there something that we can do to strengthen this tawakkul, this trust in Allah Ta'ala? Can we do something? Because we know, alright, there is the concept of trusting Allah Ta'ala. Right? But now, can we do something that will strengthen our hopes and our trust in Allah Ta'ala? Wasabbih bihamdi. What? He says, Wasabbih bihamdi. Says simple, just want to make it simple as possible that everybody can understand and benefit. Say Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Say these words. Now, our problem is when we say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, we just repeat the words. But do you know what we are saying? What we are talking about? Do you ever take out the time to find out what we are saying when we say Subhanallah? When we say Subhanallah, what we are saying really is, Allah Ta'ala himself, his being, is absolutely pure. Pure, what do you mean? It is pure against any type of weakness, fault. So the person that is absolutely pure in every respect is only Allah Ta'ala. Because every other creation comes to an end. So there is some type of a weakness. Today he can stand, tomorrow he's gone, right? Doesn't it happen to any creation, every creation? So he's around and he's no more. So this weakness is this limitation. Man has got a limitation. No limitation is Allah Ta'ala's. So therefore, Subhanallah, for our understanding, means the perfect being. Absolutely no flaws. Flawless. Right? He's absolutely flawless. Everything else has got a flaw. And Allah Ta'ala is flawless. He doesn't change. So you want to trust, then trust in him. You want to ask, then ask him. You want to implore, implore him. You want to beg, then beg of him. Subhanallah. Because he's absolutely perfect. In his generosity, he's perfect. In his beauty, he's perfect. If you are a servant of beauty, right, then his beauty is perfect. His beauty is such that you look, and the more you look, and the more you want to look, And the more you want to look, and you want to continue. You had Miss World, right? But after some time then, what happens? Her beauty still remains. The beauty must deteriorate. You know, just to show you how everything deteriorates. One friend of mine was going for Hajj, you know. So he was asking for some parting advice. So I explained to him what is the main meaning of the cleanliness of the heart, you know. Because you hear the word cleanliness of the heart, what it really means. So there's about four dimensions that relates to the cleanliness of the heart. But I'm just explaining to you one dimension only. From the four, there's one. So I explained to him, see, don't fantasize. So what do you mean don't fantasize? Very educated person. So what do you mean by don't fantasize? I have to give it to him in a very simple format. Because broad concepts people don't understand. You have to break it down. You break it down, people understand. So I told him, you know, you must have been schooling, right? What's your age? 70, 75 or something, right? So when you were young, you were schooling also, right? Primary school, then secondary school. Yeah. And you know, there must have been one girl there on the corner, and there were some feelings about her, you know, one day. So yeah, it happened. Yeah, he's telling me, yeah, that Jamila, yeah, right, yeah. He's telling me, of his origin, yeah, that Jamila. So anyway, I told him, see, what it means, that you don't fantasize about Mrs. Jamila. So now, Mona, and after last week's episode, I just forgot her. That means he kept her in his heart for 60 years, because he's 70 somewhere, 70 some odd. So he kept Mrs. Jamila in his heart for approximately 60 years. But out of curiosity, I asked him, but how you got rid of her? How you deleted her? He said, no, I was doing some shopping in the mall, right? I'm with my friend. So we knew the pranks that we were in when we were in school. So the topic just came, Jamila. Hey. So he tells me, he looked around, hey, that's a Jamila. Now we saw the same girl, now she's 70 or something, our age, and she's in a walker, and Parkinson's, she's looking like that. As ugly as anything. That time she was Mrs. School, and now she's Miss Ugly. I think that just that love and that attraction just got cancelled in my mind. So I told him, see, this is an easy way how to delete this type of fantasy. Just fast forward it. Fast forward her life and see what she'll be some years later. And that whole story will be forgotten. But you feel that this present is permanent. That's where you're going off. See? So the one that is perfect, his beauty is perfect, his love is perfect, his attention is perfect, his compassion is perfect. Every respect, that's Allah Ta'ala. He is perfect. Therefore, you say Subhanallah, He is perfect. No flaws, absolutely flawless, pure against any type of limitations. Any limitation is pure. So you say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Now see, if you say Subhanallah with this frame of mind, won't it have a different effect in your mind? Subhanallah. So why do you say Subhanallah, 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 with a salah? But by build a rapport with Allah Ta'ala, build an affinity with Allah Ta'ala, you're going back to Him. So before you reach Him, build an affinity. Right? Then you say, Alhamdulillah. So when Allah Ta'ala is perfect and He's flawless, there's no flaws, right? He's beyond any type of flaw, right? Then you say, Alhamdulillah. So that means logically, all praises are only due to Him. Everybody else has got a flaw. And everybody is subject to Allah Ta'ala's will. You are here, you are clever, you are doing things subject to the will of Allah Ta'ala. So you're not an independent entity altogether. So Alhamdulillah, praise only to Allah Ta'ala. Right. So now you say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Allah gave me existence. I hope Allah Ta'ala وَنَتْمَعُ أَيُّدْخِلَنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الصَّالِحِينَ. And we desire, we anticipate Allah will give us Jannah, put us amongst the righteous. So you say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, my Allah Ta'ala. And one day I'll see Him, and love, compassion, beauty, hey, there's no end to that. And I'm seeing, and I see again, and I see again, and I'm not getting tired. I said, Miss World, you'll get tired of her, right? But this one here, Allah Ta'ala, you're not getting tired. You're seeing, and you want to see, and you want to see, you're seeing. So can you imagine the extent of the beauty of Allah Ta'ala? Can you understand? Limitless. You saw the best building in the world. After second, third time, so we are talking here, bhai. We saw enough now. I don't need to see it again. Now Allah Pak is like that. A small, minuscule reflection is the Kaaba Sharif, right? You see it. I say, Rafiq bhai, you ever got tired? But it's a straightforward building. Why did you get tired? It's a minuscule reflection of the glory of Allah Ta'ala. So you don't get tired. You see it again, you want to see it. See it again, you want to see it. So you say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Then you say, Allahu Akbar, right? So Allahu Akbar, what you mean? That Allah Ta'ala is beyond our imagination. All what we think of Allah Ta'ala is even above that. We think it's so great, so beautiful, so magnificent. It's beyond our imagination. Far, far beyond. He's so great, right? So Allahu Akbar, Allah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Even if after the namaz, we said Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times. But with this frame of mind, you're building an affinity and love for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is where we are going off. So that rapport, that building a relationship. We have built relationship with everything, every material thing. As though that material, أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيعٍ آيَةً تَعْبَثُونَ وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ يعني كَأَنَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ. You got all these things as though you're going to live forever. This investment and that property, as though you're going to be living forever, ever. That is Allah Ta'ala's that. So, your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, your trust in Him, hope in Him, see, that has to be corrected, rectified. Before you reach Him, rectify this. I'll just read one small story and then end up. One person is going for Hajj, right? As he's proceeding for Hajj, olden days now, and he sees a well in the distance. So he sees a deer, and that thing is helping itself, is drinking. And as this man approached, that deer went away. And he sees now that the deer was drinking water, but as the man came in with his bucket, the level of the water just dropped. So he cried to Allah Ta'ala, in your sight, I don't even have that amount of respect that this deer has. For the deer, you raised the level, you brought it to the surface, the thing drank. When I came in, and you dropped the level. So Allah Pak replied to this Buzurg, that you see, that thing doesn't have a bucket, doesn't have a string. You've got a bucket and a string, so you can lower your bucket and you can draw out the water. This thing, what it's got? Doesn't have anything, it's thirsty, so I raised the water for that thing. Anyway, but since you complained, so I will raise the level of the water for you as well. The level of the water raised, he drank. Anyway, he comes to Makkah Mukarrama, Hajj time, and he meets up with Junaid Baghdadi Ramadari. Junaid tells him, bhai, tum zara sabar karte, to pani ke chashme tarah tere qadme ke niche se chal chalte hain. And you've been a little bit patient. You see, this is where we go off, the patience. A little bit of patience you had, then springs would have gushed forth from your feet. So if the thing doesn't happen straight, we made dua, we turned to Allah Ta'ala, planted our hopes in Him. If it doesn't happen immediately, don't think it's not going to happen. It will happen in each time. One person is standing at the Multazam. He's seeing for a long time, he's there. People are coming in, the du'as are getting answered and they're moving. And this man is there for a couple of good years, nothing happening for him. So he's complaining to Allah Ta'ala, but everybody else comes, they ask, they petition, and their petitions are answered and they move. And me, I'm stuck here for 5 years, nothing's happening. So Allah Pak's answer came to him, you see, the other people's cry and the tear, we don't like it. We don't enjoy it. So we give it to them and let them go. But your tears, we really enjoy. So we kept you stuck here because we enjoy your tears. You come and you ask and you cry. So we like you. And then we don't have that special relationship. Not that we hate them, but we don't have that special relationship. Your tears we like. Now what he was thinking is Allah Pak doesn't like him, and it turned out that he's the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, maybe apne pyara bana de.